From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front,
dude. Just make sure to get front of the like Oliver and Mike.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University Beers with the Brewers.
Hey, welcome once again to Beers with the Brewers here at Land Grant. Got my man, Walt Keyes.
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving.
Dan Schaefer. Oh, yeah, it is a happy holiday so
far. Thanksgiving was last week, Walt.
Yeah.
Get with the program.
What's up, Dan?
Not much, man.
Dan Schaefer in the house, and we got Adam Benner, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a pop-in. Are you here to stay?
We'll see.
Stick around?
We'll see.
A little wishy-washy on commitment this week, and I'm Mark Richards. I'm going to be talking about some bandwagon.
Jumping on that bandwagon. That's the slogan.
Oh, yeah, just jump on it.
No, jump on the bandwagon.
Jump on.
Oh, I'm jumping on right now. Got a bandwagon in my hand.
By the Sugar Hill Gang.
Tasting pretty juicy.
Yeah, it sure does.
Juicy IPA made here at Land Grant.
Sure is. Some would say it's full-bodied with flavors of peach, mango, and pine. Some would say that.
Some would say that.
I'm glad you said it, Dan.
I mean, if you were going to have a food item with this, what would you have, Dan?
Barbecue shrimp taco with some guac on there, or possibly some barbecue beef chili.
Ooh. Mm. Could you have that without the shrimp if you're for vegetarian?
Just some guac taco with some barbecue sauce on it. You could do that.
Fine.
Might not be the most satisfying meal anyone's ever eaten in their life, but
right. Well, what you know about this tap room? I think we got some holiday festivities.
Yeah.
Rolling in.
Yeah.
If you could see what I can see, the tap room has already been transformed into a winter wonderland.
It has. This is some next level decorating.
Shout
going
out
on
to,
out here
to Kayla the tap room. She's been hanging up tinsel for the past 2 days.
Yeah, my tradition for the past
it's pretty spectacular.
Past 4 years, I come in on Black Friday and put up the garland around the chalkboard, mm-hmm. and that's about the extent of the decorations we generally have. And it is definitely an enchanting winter wonderland.
Yeah. Oh, and that's a nice segue into our event on Sunday, the Holiday Enchantment at Land Grant. It's kind of an all-afternoon affair. Santa Claus is going to be here.
Captain Beer Crumbs.
I'm real excited about Captain Beer Crumbs.
We're going to have.
He's awesome.
Dan the Baker will be here. He's bringing some tasty baked goods.
Not Dan the Brewer. But Dan the Brewer may
Dan
be here.
Dan the Brewer might be here.
I'm planning on being here.
There you go.
Let's see if the kiddos cooperate.
Dan the Baker will be here. We're going to have hot chocolate. We're going to have wreath making. There's going to be ornament making for the children. We're going to have a tree and lighting ceremony at sundown out in the beer garden. We got live music.
Are we going to all stand around arm in arm and sing the Whoville song?
I think we're doing carolers as well outside. We got live music inside. Just all kinds of like holiday
Santa versus fun. Captain Beardcomb celebrity death match.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
Steel Cage.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We're bringing in some additional fire pits for out there.
Who would you take, Captain Beardcomb's or Santa?
I think Santa's way down my aisle with cookies, but then again, you would think Captain Beardcomb's would be as well.
But Santa has the endurance since he's going around to every household in the world on one night. And Captain Beardcrumbs.
He's just going around drinking stouts.
Yeah. I think he just stays at one bar. I think he just hangs out at one bar.
I feel like milk and cookies is better than beer and cookies, probably, for your friend. Well, I don't know.
I think we'd have to take... I'd take Santa in that.
It'd be a pretty even match, probably.
Think Santa would win?
It's a sprint versus a marathon, you know? It's really
I saw some dancing moves that could have turned into fighting moves.
Captain Beardcrumbs does have
one fine anniversary eve.
That military background.
Does he?
Yeah, he's a captain of sorts.
Oh, yeah, he's right there in the name.
Yeah.
I think Beardcrumbs just let Santa punch himself out and
just play the long game and let him get tired and then finish it.
Well, we may find out on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see.
Scare some children.
Yeah, like live music, hot chocolate, hot cocktails, cold beer, Griswold, stout on. Gotcha. We've got obviously Beardcrumbs. We got everything you would ever want.
If you still haven't tried that Griswold Stout or the coffee version after listening last week, get yourself down here.
Yeah, and I should also mention that this whole thing is a toy drive as well to benefit the Gladden House here in Franklinton. If you bring us a gift to donate, you get $1 off your first beer. So, geez.
Helping out. And
come on.
And it's a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So come on down here. Hang out with us.
We can get our trees here, too, right?
Oh, yeah, tree lot. Yeah, this is so much.
When are the trees
Trees going to be here all day. We're going to have small Christmas trees and wreaths and garland available. It's like
your Charlie Brown style Christmas trees?
Not that small, but like, you know, like
apartment Christmas trees.
Yeah. You're not going to, we probably won't like have like a 12-foot Christmas tree for you, but you know, if you live in an apartment or have a smaller living room, come get a Christmas tree. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun.
Sweet.
Looking forward to it.
Myself for the as well. First,
can you call it a first annual?
I think it's just the inaugural it, is the inaugural, word you're looking for.
Enchantment.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how the inaugural one goes. And then
rain will be away. It's not, we had the snow this
week.
Yeah, weather's
looking not bad. Weather it's going to be like 50.
It's looking real solid, yeah.
Kind of like this past Saturday.
Ooh, got cold. Cold this week so far. Sheesh.
Oh yeah, and we have like a bunch of new merch that we're launching on Sunday as well, so you get first dibs on the new stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately all those new flannels were out of stock, so we do have the Buffalo Check. We have some of those back, mm-hmm. but we were hoping for some new styles for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you order some?
Has it been a national run on flannel?
Yeah. Yeah, we did the same thing last year where
you think about it in the fall
when you want to wear a flannel to try to order them, and they're all out of stock. So
flannel shortage.
Or order them in the summertime. Lesson learned.
Need to breed more flannels, I guess.
Yeah. It's not enough.
That's really all I got for events. That's the big one.
Yeah, New Year's Eve party, we'll probably be talking about that. Oh, yeah, duh. That's a big one.
God, there's just so much. Yeah, New Year's Eve, we actually just pushed it up right before this podcast started. So New Year's Eve tickets are available. We partner up with Strong Water this year. They're going to do a dinner with beer pairings over at their restaurant with a full-on New Year's Eve dance party over here at Land Grant to follow.
How many tickets did we release for that?
There are 142 tickets available.
So if you are thinking about it and you have a group, it's probably better to act fast. We did have some situations last year. Some people were on the fence and waited to the last minute, and we sold out. And unfortunately, we really want to make sure that folks that come down have a great mm-hmm. time. So mm-hmm. we can't necessarily add another ticket for everyone. Right. So we did have some people that were a little disappointed, and we want to make sure to accommodate. So if you're thinking about it, act fast, because they probably will go over the next couple weeks.
They're going to go quick.
Get on it.
And to add to that, we have three sets of VIP packages where you get a private room over at Strongwater, and those can accommodate. There's a 10-person table, an 8-person table, and a 6-person table. So if you got a big crew of people, that might be a good.
And then you get to hang out.
Good thing to do.
And hang out with Mark the rest of the night, kind of like the anniversary party
VIP package. Status. That's the way we do it up here.
Yeah. And so there's several seating starting at 6 o'clock, and then every half hour after that. And if you're worried, if you booked like the 8 o'clock seat and you feel like you're not going to get as much time to hang out, you are welcome here at Land Grant starting at 6, regardless of your seat time. So you come over here, have a beer, go have your dinner, and then come back.
It's a good plan. Would you dance before dinner? Or?
I mean, you could. You don't see a ton of that, but we're not going to certainly stop anyone. We'll have festive party jams on.
Yeah, so the details will be on our website.
Yeah, Facebook, if you go to Land Grant's website right now, there's a big splash image there. That'll take you to the page, which is landgrantbrewing.com/new-years-eve-2018.
I know I had a blast here last year. We had Tony Cipriani from the sales team. DJ Tony was back there.
Mm-hmm. He was getting jiggy with it, too.
Spinning the hits. Yeah. We had some fog machines in the back. The brewery was transformed into a fun dancing nightclub, maybe.
Yeah. So if you're interested,
that's the word.
Go to our website or our Facebook or Instagram. It should be front and center anywhere you go.
That's it?
That's a wrap.
That's it on events.
Great. Come by Saturday night.
Or yet another event.
Maybe watch the Buckeyes here, given that You know, last week when we were talking on the podcast, there was a lot of doom and gloom, or just we weren't thinking that.
I think I correctly picked the Buckeyes to win.
We'll have to review the tape. I think you said something. They were going to score 63 points, so you were close.
Yeah, that was pretty close.
Yeah, and got the Big Ten championship. We'll have that on. We'll have college football on all day Saturday with the
8 p.m.
Big 12 championship kicking off at noon and SEC championship around 4, I think. So,
go Bama.
Yeah. Good day of watching.
Go Bama and go hook 'em.
Hook 'em horns.
Hook 'em horns. What is it?
Okay, cool. Hook 'em.
Okay, cool. Hook 'em.
Yeah.
Dan, what's the deets on this bandwagon?
There it is. Let's take a detour from the events cast.
well, we covered most of. This has become a BJCP provisional guide this year, style that is. 6.3 to 7.5% ABV, 50 to 70 IBUs, but most importantly, as they note, may differ from perceived bitterness. So this should be very saturated, juicy hop flavor aroma with a restrained bitterness and a rounded mouthfeel. And that's what we are going for. Bandwagon comes in at 7.2% ABV, 28-ish IBUs. The grist was fairly similar to what we did for concentrate, two-row malted oats from our friends at House Malts and red wheat. But we dropped the honey malt because as much as I like what that malt does, particularly to newer hop varieties, it gave the beer kind of a sort of a ruddy hue to it. And I think most people expect these to be pretty pale. So we dropped that. Hops, Simcoe, Racal, and Centennial. Two of those, Simcoe and Racal, we used and got fuzz, but you probably didn't notice it with your mouth full of apricots and peaches. So we like that hop combo. We actually got to taste that beer before it got fruit in it and really liked what it brought. So decided to pair those together for this. But
I think you pronounced that Racal wrong, remembering how Chris
clear my throat.
Racal!
There you go.
Nailed it.
The same reasons that we chose those hops in that beer, we chose them in this beer. Stone fruit forward. I get it. You can tell I ate too many Jolly Ranchers when I was a kid because I think everything tastes like Jolly Ranchers. But peach and orange Jolly Ranchers. There's some fresh mango there, a bit of resin and pine. You just get a little bit of a grainy oat and that sort of doughy wheat at the end, just enough to let you know it's a beer. There were a few comments I read on concentrate that was a little bitter for the style. So I decided to move some of the hop load back to the dry hop and out of the whirlpool to try to limit the amount of IBUs that we got out of it. So it's still get a little bitter bite, but it's more pale ale than it is IPA, really.
Yeah, I definitely think that bitterness is a lot more restrained. I would say this is hazy, not opaque. So that's one thing I think if you're expecting a milkshake, kind of like Gapa's or some of the other ones, this has all of the characteristics. It is hazy, but it's not going to be a can of soup, basically.
No,
it's poured out.
It looks like a half. We did have a highfalutin idea, and we've heard of other people actually centrifuging their NEPAs, and so we tried that on this first batch. We will, the next one coming out, the next batch will not be centrifuged, so it'd be sort of interesting to do a side-by-side on those and see. But I mean, I don't feel like the having yeast in suspension is a characteristic of the style. I think the hay should come from a combination of hops, polyphenols and proteins from all the oats and the wheat and all the adjuncts. So recently I have had quite a few beers where I've just got chunks of stuff in the bottom of my glass, and that should not be the case with this beer.
This is the second time we've used this bandwagon name. How does this differ? I think it was last year the can had a New England Patriots and Cubs nod to it. How does this one different than the first time that we did it?
I think we've learned a lot since then about this style. We were using flaked oats back then, and we switched to malted oats. I think that gives you like a more of a permanent haze to it. We have switched to doing 170 hop stands on our whirlpool instead of
that flame out and try to retain some of those more fragile hop aromatics. And I think we've shifted more hops to the dry hop as well. We've got our hop rocket now.
Change up the yeast too, right? Yep. We're using a different English strain.
English. I think we just did San Diego. We might have done that London 3, which is cool, but really cantankerous. Yeah, I just think we've really refined our process since then.
Yeah, I think from the name of that beer, when we Justin and I, one of the brewers who you've seen on the podcast, had that idea to, as everyone else a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, was coming out with their hazy New England style IPAs, that we were going to jump on that bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And we've done a couple others since, but as we were looking at this one, we thought it would be a cool way to almost turn this into a...
Update it and keep
reusing this. You know, as a brewery, you want to be innovative. You want to try to come up with new things, and we've been able to do that. But there's also times that you have to look at what people really want, and someone else might have already come up with that. So what is your take on that? So if it's tongue-in-cheek coming up that we're going to jump on that bandwagon. So we found what we thought was the most apropos bandwagon to jump on than the color scheme of the purple and gold of the Lakers.
Yeah, and like you said, two years when we did it the first time, it was coming off the New England, appropriately the New England Super Bowl win and the Cubs World Series win. So it had more of a blue and red sort of a motif to it. But yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to jump on the Lakers bandwagon right now?
LeBron had a bad game last night, though. He only scored like 13 points. Mm-hmm. So, but, as someone long-suffering...
Just wait until they have Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant. Yeah. And
someone from Cleveland who stayed true and has suffered, it is fun to jump on bandwagons. I did that when I lived in Chicago with the Blackhawks. I was a big Blackhawks fan for a couple years when they won. So that was fun before coming back and being a big Blue Jackets fan now. I don't know, Mark, have you ever jumped on a bandwagon with any sports team?
I'm jumping on the bandwagon right now.
Okay.
Yeah, the bandwagon.
Oh,
bandwagon.
All right. Yeah. That's all you got. That's it.
What about you, Dan? Are your allegiances more where you're from, or do you ever find yourself...
I unfortunately jumped on the Arsenal bandwagon back in 2002 when they went through the entire season undefeated, and I thought it was going to be like that every year. I'm still waiting.
It's rooting for Thierry Henry. That was something that always excited us. I know Walt and I were big Thierry Henry fans back in the day, playing FIFA and all that. I had an Arsenal jersey because of that. It's a fun team to watch back then.
This is, you've taken the bandwagon spirit to heart then,
I can see. Oh, sure. Yeah, with the... definitely on those. I mean, I'm obviously not from England, so you pick the team that's performing the best. Yeah,
I thought you just had a very clean accent. South London, maybe.
We know, Walt, you've jumped on a couple bandwagons in your day.
Yeah,
growing up as a Michigan fan.
Yeah.
So, and I guess though that was your parents.
Yeah, both my parents went to Michigan, so growing up, I cheered for Michigan, and then when it came time to go to college, I didn't get into Michigan. So I went to Ohio State instead and just shut that door and became an Ohio State fan. And they've been pretty good ever since I made that switch. So
you can take responsibility.
Closing the door and opening your heart.
I should also add that when I was a Michigan fan, Michigan was pretty good in the rivalry. Yeah. So
you can take responsibility.
I could be the real linchpin of this whole thing.
Yeah, your entire... I mean, Cooper, during your years, won two games. And then since you switched over to be an Ohio State fan, Michigan has won two games. So, interesting.
Pendulum swings with Walt.
Yeah, so that's my big bandwagon jump.
But what about now? You have been cheering for the Browns quite a bit lately, dropping your hometown.
Yeah, my number one NFL team is the New Orleans Saints. And then I also like the Chiefs and the Rams. But Browns are now my fourth favorite team. And the Bengals are canceled forever.
I will admit I've jumped on the Saints bandwagon. They're since half the roster is the Ohio State
There are a lot of Buckeyes. I do find myself doing something similar. when there are a bunch of Buckeyes on a team and their entire defensive backfield, for the most part, are great Ohio State defensive backs.
But yeah, if it's a sport I don't really care that much about. Like, I'll say the NBA because I grew up in Cincinnati, so we didn't really have a team. I rooted for LeBron in college just because I was always around so many people from Cleveland. It just was a fun thing to do.
Yeah, but a lot of those folks also jumped on the bandwagon, the Cavs bandwagon.
Yeah, you know, that's true. But, like, you know, it's everyone I was around was mostly from Cleveland, so we watched a lot of Cavs games, and it helped that they had LeBron. And so I find if it's a sport I don't care that much about, I just want to watch a team that's fun and wins a lot.
Yeah, I supported the Buffalo Bills there for...
I was a Bills fan when they Jim Kelly and Andre Reed. I love those Bills teams.
And that was right about the time when the Browns were leaving. So those are fun teams to watch and losing four Super Bowls. But I had a pro player Bills jacket, winter coat that my got for Christmas one year. Yeah. That was a prized possession as a youth.
I was a big I had a Florida State starter jacket because I loved
Florida State starter jacket
because I loved Charlie Ward.
Okay. Yeah.
But I, like, after he left, I didn't really follow them at all, but I had this, wore this Florida State jacket for, like, 5 years.
It's, like, the most early 90s thing ever.
Yeah.
Charlie Ward. Just stick that in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Early 90s. Florida State starter jacket.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a question from a listener this week, by the way.
You don't say.
And in other questions, though.
How crushable is it?
How crushable is it, Mark?
This week, I'm going with one-third of a glass, but I'd ordinarily go probably three on this.
That's a four.
Four crusher for Walt.
Yeah, it's easy drinker for an IPA.
Yeah, it is pretty easy like drinking.
I'll get three.
Where are we coming in on the ABV on this guy?
6-1.
6-1.
7-2.
Oh, I'm thinking of concentrated or something. I'm thinking of a different beer.
Last year, I think it was 6-1.
I'm thinking of the wrong beer. So I'm going to dial mine back to 3.
I'm going to go with 3.
Yeah.
3 it is. Three. Solid 3.
Unanimous. Unanimous 3.
Unanimous 3. So, in other questions, Dragon Sandwich. Is this his Insta handle?
Is that our Twitter handle?
That's his government name, I believe.
Government Dragon name Sandwich. Of Dragon Sandwich, codename Dragon Sandwich, says, "Hey guys, what is a typical brew schedule like each week at LG? Are you brewing more than once a day? And which beer is most difficult to brew and why?" That's actually two questions. I guess that was a few questions, he says. He even knows this. But he'd love to hear back from us.
He's very self-aware.
Loves the beer in the show. He says, thanks. Thank you, Dragon Sandwich, for sending in a question. Dan, what's that brew life like?
It's beautiful seeing that Dragon Sandwich become self-aware in the middle of his own question. Yeah. That's great.
He's a solid dude. I like Dragon Sandwich. or Dudette.
Typically we are brewing every day here. If we don't have two brews going on the big brew house, we'll typically have something going on the pilot system or some combination thereof. Most difficult to brew. One of them's coming up next week with Deep Search. Because we will absolutely fill the mash tun on that and require every bit of our two bins to empty it out. And it's a 90-minute boil. So it's just a long day.
It's worth it, though.
Oh, man.
I'm looking forward to this iteration this year. But probably 30,000 acres, which we were not able to do this year, but because we're not set up for whole cone hops, we have to mash in, run into the kettle, and then clean the mash tun and CIP it, and then after we boil it off the wort, we run it back, put all the hops in, and run the wort over top of it.
And that being a fresh hop beer, it introduces a scheduling nightmare because you actually don't find out until basically 2 days beforehand that they picked them and they're shipping them to you. So last year when we did, and why we didn't do it this year. We had a hold basically on the schedule that, okay, if the hops are here, we have to brew it, because you want to brew it as fresh as possible. So not only from the day of brewing, but all the lead up to it created a lot of complexity for us.
It's difficult to anticipate when those hops are going to get here. Hurry up and wait, and you set aside a brew day, still not coming, hold that tank. We just didn't have the timing to squeeze it in this year.
Yeah, which stinks, because I really love fresh hop beers. Mm-hmm. It would be really cool if we could have a locally grown option, which I think we're looking at for next year. Hopefully be able to do that.
It's awesome. All right, Dragon Sandwich, thanks a lot. Come down here and identify yourself. We'll hook you up with that sweet Beers with the Brewers t-shirt, yeah. LGU t-shirt.
And if you're not local, shoot us an email at cheers@landgrantbrewing.com. We will be sure to get you your shirt.
Yeah. Keep those questions pouring in. We've had some good ones lately.
This beer officially launched about a week ago in cans and draft around town.
Cans and draft. We got a draft-heavy run coming off this week, so you probably see it some bars around town.
Yeah, mainly in just in the package and grocery stores and bottle shops and the like. But
and, of course, the Land Grant tap room. Get them both there.
Of course, always.
Get you a couple. Get your three. Walt's Limit. And then get you an Uber, take that six-pack to go, maybe watch the game over the weekend.
Maybe.
Jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, jump on that Buckeye bandwagon for the weekend if you're
not an Ohio State fan, you're listening. I know there's a couple of Michigan fans listening. You know, feel free. Your season's over.
Yeah.
There's no reason to continue to watch unless you're cheering for Ohio State. So jump on that bandwagon.
I'll tell you, I was a surprise.
It works for the SEC, so just root for the conference.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
But not this Saturday.
No. Don't root for SEC.
Specifically root against Northwestern.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
And for Texas and for Alabama. Feels wrong, but root for Alabama. They don't need that much help.
They don't need that much help.
Root for Alabama.
The consolation prize of going to the Rose Bowl is a pretty good consolation prize, which would also prevent Michigan from going to the Rose Bowl, which is also a good consolation prize.
Yeah, they'd have to play in like the Cotton Bowl or something.
Yeah, they'd probably go to the Cotton. They'd be in, like Ohio State was last year.
Yeah. I think Michigan State's got a permanent residency at the Outback Bowl.
Yeah, like Ohio State had at the Fiesta Bowl for a while.
Yeah.
Well, for you to feel this way, go Bucks.
Peace out. Go Bucks.
Hey. Flip your bartenders.